All right, we are on Chaf Chesamid Beis. We're up to the Mishnah. I'd like to be able to see the Mishnah and get through the Gemara, maybe get to the Mishnah. Let's see how we do. Okay. The Mishnah actually introduces us to Tefillah, which not everyone's accustomed to saying. And we'll see if, in fact, it's a halacha whether or not it should be said. So Mechunim ben Akana, Hayim Espalel, Bechnisasel, Reis HaMedrash. Whenever he would enter into Shul, he would always say some type of tefillah, which probably it's not referring to the Shemon Esrei, not referring to the tefillahs we're familiar with, must be something which is unique. If it's Yasso, tefillah Kitzor. He would also say a short tefillah upon his exiting the Shul.
You're in the middle of the Mishnah.
We're starting the Mishnah. There's a Mishnah above that. There's two Mishnahs.
Oh, you're right.
Okay. So they said, this is something which people knew and the Chunim and the Kana used to do. But people were not so familiar with this tefillah. So Omru Los, they said, Ma Makom L'Tefillazu. What is the place for this tefillah? What does that mean, Ma Makom? So Rashi says, the only Rashi over here, Kolomar Mativa. What Mativa? What is its purpose? What's the good? What's the benefit of this tefillah? What is it supposed to accomplish? So Amulhem, he says, this is what I basically do, and when we get to the Gemara, we'll see the actual nusach of the entire tefillah. Dechnisasi anim espalel. When I enter into the shul, or Beis Medrash, I am a spalil shoyim. You are a dover to kala al yadei, that no stumbling block should come about through my hands. Which, as we're going to see in the Gemara, the idea is that when he goes throughout the day and he paskins certain shilas, he says certain halachos, it's very easy that he can say something wrong, and by saying something wrong, it could have a terrible negative effect. And therefore, for that reason, he's a spalil that shouldn't happen. And when I leave, I give thanks to Hashem for my chelik, that I was zocha to be able to learn Torah, and to be able to have this opportunity to connect to Him in that way. So that's the mission. So now the Gemara is going to go into this tefillah at greater length. So what is this tefillah that he says when he enters into the Beis Medrash? He ratzon l'fanecha Hashem alokai shul yar davar tekal al yadi, which is what the Mishnah said, that no stumbling block, nothing should happen, the lo echshul b'davar halacha, that I should not stumble in any halacha, v'yismechu bi chaverai, and that my friends should rejoice over my mistake. Lo omer al tameh tahar, lo al tahar tameh, I should not say that which is pure is impure, which is vice versa. I should basically not say that which is not the halacha. I should hopefully say the halacha properly. And it's not in this girsa, but in the actual way it's said, is I shouldn't say on that which is usr is mutar, and that which is mutar is usr, right? That which is permissible is forbidden, back and forth. I should also be careful of that. Lo yichshlu chaverai b'davar halacha v'yismach b'hem. It shouldn't be that my friends also I should be mispiled for, that they shouldn't make a mistake, and that I will rejoice in their mistakes.
But what's about the whole thing about mispiled for Lebecha? How about more so, is a rabbanim and stuff like that? Why would they be happy if the friend made a mistake?
They shouldn't.
Right? Like those, you know, I mean, it's also this about a guy, about
people,
somebody
you know,
else.
That's the way it is. People are.
These are supposed to be robotic.
It's still human nature that when the two of us say something,
it's ego.
Yeah, there is. It's possible that could get in the way. You're right, but it certainly shouldn't. So, for those that aren't familiar with this, or for those who have maybe heard it once, for those that don't say it any time or not all the time, the question is this the halacha? So the Rambam actually says the following. Eila tefilos shol Rav Nachunim ben Akana chova l'chol mishi yichanis l'beis ha-medrash likros. The Rambam says that it's an actual chiyuv, an obligation to say this. Does that mean everyone does?
Some Gemaras do, like the newer ones have it.
Yeah, but
so the Rambam says it's a chiyuv. To be honest, I haven't seen it as a chiyuv in all my years in yeshiva. I've seen some of the chashuv guys saying it, and then other people just not. Which I would imagine, if it's mamash a chiyuv, then we would have been instructed by a rebbeim that everyone has to do it. But at least the Rambam does, in fact, say. Bring this down as a halacha. It's brought down to the portion, the idea of it seems a little bit some repetition of it shouldn't be a takal or it shouldn't be a stumbling block, a little echshel b'tavar halacha. So they say that there's two ideas, there's two mistakes one can make. There's a mistake in which is going to actually steer someone the wrong way by paskening a certain halacha. Lamaisa, they'll end up going out and doing something wrong. And there's the other idea of just in general, you're learning a piece of Gemara, learning a Tosfos, and you have an interpretation, and it's a wrong interpretation. So it may not have more than an academic effect, right? But nonetheless, that's also the idea of this tefillah. That's not just halacha lamaisa, but anything that I extrapolate, anything that I paskin like, or anything that I don't paskin like, anything I say, I should make sure not to make that mistake. So that's one piece. And some also explain what is this idea of not saying which is Tameh, which is Tahar. So he brings down that there are numerous times in which a shiloh is presented, like there's almost a shiloh about an animal, whether or not it was a trefa. And this guy looked at it, and he immediately could have said it's Tahar, because he noticed this one question that it was not a problem. But once he looked deeper into it, he noticed that there was another problem with the animal. So some explain that it's not just paskening the correct psak, but it's also being able to look at the full picture beyond that which is in front of you or beyond that which is asked. So a person who knows how to pasken properly doesn't just listen to the question, but you have to also listen to what's not being said. You have to understand the whole picture. So that's how some explain the repetitions of this tefillah. Okay, and now we have the second part of the Mishnah, which is when he leaves the shul, when he would leave the Beis Medrash. And this is something which is even more famous, not because it's said upon leaving Beis Medrash, but this is part of a siyum. Betziyaso mahu omer. So what is said when left? Modani lefanecha Hashem Elokai. So I'm fortunate that my chelek in life, my portion in life, is learning Torah, sitting in a Beis Medrash. Not that I was placed in among those who are Yoshvi Kronos, who are sitting literally in corners, which means, as Rashi says, who are those people who are Yoshvi Kronos, which is the second Rashi by the Gemara, the third wine line. Yoshev Kronos, Chenvanim, which is storekeepers, which is not the worst thing in the world. Oh, Ami Aretz Oskim B'Dvar Sicha. When you're dealing with an Ami Aretz that all they do is joke around, and there's no seriousness to their life, there's no deeper meaning in their lives, I'm fortunate to be able to have more meaning by being able to learn Torah. Shani Mashkim Behe Mashkim. The truth is, we're very similar. We both have the same obligations because we're both human beings and we have certain needs. And we both wake up in the morning. Ani Mashkim Behe Mashkim. Ani Mashkim L'Divrei Torah. My purpose of waking up is ultimately to learn Torah. Behe Mashkim L'Divrei Batalim. They wake up and they are involved in Divrei Batalim. So what do you mean Divrei Batalim? Waking up to go to work. So the question is, are they going to work? Why are they going to work? They're going to work really to make money in order to be oisik in Devarim B'Talim. To them, the ikar of life is nothingness. To me, I have something which has mamashas of substance in my life. Ani amel v'hem amel. I work, I toil, is the proper language. And they also are engaged in their jobs. They also have, they're employed. So I work and I get a paycheck. They work, they don't get any reward. They don't get any schar. So what do you mean? So I work, I'm learning Torah, I get schar in olam haba. So the ain't mekabel schar means maybe they're working, they don't get reward in olam haba. But the simple translation is that they work, the ain't mekabel schar, schar is not true, because we know every Friday, or whatever is the arrangement, they get their paycheck. So the Chofetz Chaim asked the famous kasha on this, which is often discussed, is how could we say this statement? It's not true. They do work and get sachar, they do get reward. So the way that the Chofetz Chaim answers it, Derech Mashal, is in the following way. He says, a person is go to a tailor, and so in order to be able to make a suit, so you have to have, give them all the materials. You give them the materials, and they measure you, and a week later you can come and pick up the suit. You come back a week later, say, okay, here I am. Say, you know what? I have some bad news to tell you. I ripped the garment, this didn't work out, my sewing machine broke, took me a bunch of hours to make it, but you know what? It's all botched up. All right, sorry. And then you're about to walk out, and he says, oh, by the way, you have to pay me for all the effort, and all that energy that I exerted upon trying to make your suit. And I say, so what are we talking about? Where's my final product? I'm only looking at the final product. So, explains the Chofetz Chaim, that's the fundamental difference between Torah and the rest of the world. When it comes to the rest of the world, you can have two people. One person can finish a task in 30 minutes, the other person can finish it and take them 30 hours, but if it's the same final product, the second person's not going to get any more than the first person. In fact, maybe the first person who works faster, more diligently, or whatever, is more skilled, end up getting a raise. So the fact that you put in work, or that's the lashon actually of the Gemara, is omel. An omel is someone who toils, is the effort, is the hishtavos. When it comes to the rest of the world, there is no reward for one's amelos, nothing. However, when it comes to Torah, when it comes to two people, one's learning a piece of Gemara and flying through it, piece of cake, the other one's struggling, breaking their teeth, that second person will get more sechar. And that's because Hashem judges us on amelus, the amelus of Torah, the effort that we put into it. It's the energy, it's the process, it's not the final product. It's also the final product to be able to know psak halacha. But when it comes to Torah, explains the Chofetz Chaim, the greatness of Torah is the amelus, that you get reward even for the effort and energy that we put in. The person shouldn't feel, I worked so hard learning Torah, but I don't get it, it's too hard. Doesn't matter. The fact that you went to a shir and you tried to understand it, you made the efforts, that you get reward for. Ani rots v'hem rots. I am running and they're running. So we're all doing things, we have higher energy levels, we're doing different things in life, but what is my ultimate goal? Ani rots l'chayelam haba, v'hem rotsum l'ver shachas. I'm running to a olam haba. I realize that this world is a temporary world. This is not the main thing. This is the tafel. And I'm going, doing my thing in this world in order to be able to have an olam haba, to have something which is eternality. They're running, their efforts, their energy, is l'ver shachas. Literally, it's translated the pit of destruction. Which means that when it comes to everything in this world physically, except for maybe wine, everything deteriorates. Everything gets worse and lessens because it's a physical thing. One thing is new, it's brand new, it's beautiful, and as years go by, it loses that sense. So this person whose whole life is gashmis, is physicality, material wealth, l'ver shachas, they're going down. There's no growth in their life, so they're ultimately going down. However, a person whose life is ruchnius, is spirituality, that's they're running to olam haba because they know as they're getting older or advanced in years, they're actually growing, they're going up. And that's the how some explain the Maamar of Chazal about Yosef, that when Yosef wanted to give to his father, what did he give? So Rashi says he gave old wine. So because old wine is something in which
gets
better with age. So what's the idea? Is because he was showing that when it comes to, you think, Yaakov would maybe think about his son, he's a Mitzrayim, which is Makom Tumah, you know, so obviously he's going to be following that route in life. He showed them the wine to show, no, I don't live in the physical world. I'm not going to follow their shachas. I'm pursuing Olam Haba, which is Ruchnis, the spirituality, which is the only thing that he could have physically given him to give that message, is old wine. Tanurban. So now that's the that Gemara, which is based on the Mishnah. Now we continue Tanurban Kishachol Rabbi Eliezer Nichnasu Tamidu Lubag. So Rabbi Eliezer unfortunately was sick, which doesn't mean he was just a little bit sick, it means he was dying. So his students were visiting him. Ormelo to Rabbeinu Umanu Orchus Chayim Niska Behandel Chayon Haba. We want to learn from you. Teach us, what are we supposed to do in life to merit the world to come? So Amalahan, he says, this is what you're supposed to do. He's Haru Bechavod Chavreichem. The first thing you have to be careful about is be careful about the honor of your friends. It goes without saying, people who are above you, people who you're supposed to emulate, those people you're supposed to have covet for. You don't have covet for them, you have covet for no one. But even when it comes to your Chavreichem, people who are your equals, those people also, you have to realize that even though they're your equals, you have to show them respect. Umanu b'neichem min ha-hegyon. You have to distance your children from hegyon. What is that? So Rashi says a couple of interpretations. Hegyon is lo, is the fourth line in Rashi. Lo targilim b'mikra yois medai mishum d'moshch. It says don't teach them too much mikra, Torah shirachsav. Don't teach them too much chumash, yos medai, too much. Mishum demashcha, because it draws them. The idea is that if a person only learns Torah shebichsav, only written Torah without the Torah shebaalpeh, which accompanies it, then you're going to end up like the tzaddukim, gravitate toward literal explanation, and it'll end up that you're not going to do the right thing. You have to know how to balance in your life. Everything. Life's about balance, and so too Torah Shema Peh, Torah Shmichsav, is about balance. So don't, even though it's important for your children to have that foundation of Chumash and Navi, whatever, nonetheless, not too much. You have to also expose them ultimately to Torah Shema Peh. Rashi says, Lashon Acher, Nesiches Yiladim. Says you should not speak as children. So as we physically mature in years, hopefully we'll mature also in maturity. So, yeah. And you should place them, as Avi's always mentioned about the Rosh Chodesh Shirim, by the knees of the Talmidei Chachamim. That if you, when it comes to having your children grow, it's not enough just to teach them, but also to expose them to the great Talmidei Chachamim, the great Gedolei Hador in our generation. And by doing that, those are the people that they're going to wish to emulate, and then hopefully they'll end up being more like them. And then the most famous of the words of Rabbi Eliezer, which is actually found sometimes in front of shuls, "Ukshatim spalim," and when one davens, here's the five words: "The ulifni miatem oyimdi." You should know before whom you stand. So when it comes to a person who does these things, it's "Ukshil kach tisul chayom haba." So it doesn't tell us about obviously keep Tariyag Mitzvos. These are above and beyond, or things that perhaps one would not think about. And when it comes to davening Shemoneh Esrei, just for a second to realize that we're actually not just it would be a hesek, but certainly one should contemplate it to realize it. Absolutely. In fact, some explain that that's the reason for the sentence of Hashem Sofosai Tiftach Ufi Yagid Tosach. As they say, when it comes to, like, if a person would stand before a king, the king would say, you know what, you have the opportunity to say whatever you want, I'm going to give you a gift. Tell me, speak your mind. And the person's shivering and shaking, and he just can't do it. That's, on some level, what it should be like. If we realize, truly, we're standing in front of God, how can we even open up our mouths? Therefore, that's why we begin the Shemoneh Esrei, Hashem Sofasai Tiftach, God, I need your help to allow me to speak. Because technically, if you realize and was really internalized this feeling that you're standing in front of a king, or Melech Malchim Lochim, certainly it would be hard for you to speak. U'keshechol Rav Yochanan ben Zaka. And now we have the words of Rav Yochanan ben Zaka that says the nichnasu tamidu v'vakro, that when the students came to visit him when he was gone, as soon as he saw them, his chilivchos, he began to cry. And perhaps, as we'll see, Rav Yochanan ben Zaka is unsure. Is he going to go to Gehenna? Am I going to go to Gan Eden? That's what actually the Gemara says. Some explain Rav Yochanan ben Zaka in his own right certainly would, no question, go to Gan Eden. But this is all questions. What does this have to do with the Mishnah, the Gemara? Rav Yochanan ben Zaka taught numerous Talmidim, and he was concerned, just as Rav Nechunim ben Akana was, that when it came to a Psak Halacha, maybe he would steer all his Talmidim in the wrong direction. The Achrayas, the responsibility of educating numerous students and possibly giving them the wrong information, in which would be Dori Doro, so it would affect all future generations, that's something in which he was crying for. That's why it's the sensitivity of the language of the Gemara is that he wasn't crying until they came. Kivan Shiro, so once he saw them, his chalichos, that's when he started being worried. That's when he was concerned. Armul Tamidav, so the student said, and this is one of the references of a nice high school in Baltimore, Ner Yisrael, the light candle of Yisrael, Amud Hayamini, right pillar. What does that mean, the right pillar? So there were two pillars, Rashi says, Amud Hayamini, Shnei Amudim Ha'emid Shloima Abi'ilim, that there were, Shlomo had two major pillars, and he named each of those pillars. Shem Hayamini Yachin, the right pillar was Yachin, and being a lefty, I always get a kick out of this. Shem Hasmoli Boaz, and the left pillar is Boaz. Hayamini Lo'olom Choshen. I don't like those last three words, that the right is more Choshen than the left, but nonetheless,
the right is.
The right is, exactly. So Amud Hayamini is the right pillar, which means that's the more Choshen. And some, for those who are familiar with Mishnayos, there's actually a parish on Mishnayos, which is called Yochanu Boaz, which you may have heard of. Yochanu Boaz, there's a, not sure if we have that. Yochanu Boaz, which are the two pillars, the right and the left pillar. That's what it's named after, those two pillars that Shlomo put in the first base of Mikdash. So out of the two, it's better to be called Amud Hayamini, the right pillar. But obviously a pillar is the foundation, it holds things up. Pshit Chazak, you strong hammer, you're a powerful one. Yemnimata Bochan, ask the Gemara, ask the students, why are you crying? Sarmul Hebi said, I'll tell you why I'm crying. Il if ne melech bosav adam. If I was in front of a king of flesh and blood, hay melech naisi shahi, they're bringing me hayom, shayom kan mocha bekever. King's going to die tomorrow. He's not here forever. Shim kares alai in kosu kwas hayom. If he gets angry, it's not forever. Vim osroni eni siris oilam. If he incarcerates me, it's not going to be forever, because he may get a pardon, there could be another president or whatever comes around. Even if he kills me, my death is not forever. What do you mean? Death is pretty permanent. So, obviously, it means that there is Olam Haba, exactly. So, that's not the end of the world. That's how Rashi says. Mises Olam is Olam Haba. The Aniyochul Afaisa B'Devarim. I could always appease him with words, Roshachtim Al-Mamon, and bribe him, even though maybe I'm not supposed to, but to get out of it, bribe him with money. Afal Pikin, nonetheless. Hayisib Boicha, of course I would cry. Yashav Shemaylich and Aisla Vnei Melch Machin 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 Machin. Now I'm going to be standing in front of the King of Kings, who's always around. Shim kois alai kosa kosa oil. He's angry, it's forever. Vim astroni usurus oil. If I'm incarcerated, if he locks me and throws me away, it's forever. Vim misani misas misas oil. If I die, it's over. It's the olam hazeh, it's olam haba. If God wants that, it's over. Then yochel afayis b'dvarim. At the end of the day, excluding for the reciting of Kaddish, I cannot, from my children saying on my behalf, there is no one that could appease me after I'm dead. Little shachtim amamun, money is worthless, you can't take it with you. V'od elo sheish lefnei, v'fonei shnei d'arachim. I have two paths. Acha shal gan eden, v'acha shal gehenna. I have two paths. V'eini yedeya be'ezim aylichin. I see an unbelievable sentence. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know. I'm at this crossroads. I may go to Gehenna. But again, v'levcha, I shouldn't cry. Of course I should cry. So the students were obviously moved at his Yiras Shemayim. So Amar lo, he said, Rabbeinu, Baruchin, you're about to die, give us a bracha, give us some last words. So Amar lohem, he said, Yiratzen Shemayim Shemayim Aleichem, he wanted this Gevaltik, a bracha from this great tzaddik. The fear of heaven should be to you, what? Kamar Basav Adam, just like a guy, like a person. Like you fear some guy on the street, you should fear God. So Amar lo Talmida, so the students looked at the Rebbe and said, Ad Kan? That's it? Come on, you can do better than that. That's the bracha. We were expecting something a little bit nicer, more powerful. Wait, and also what? You're telling me I'm supposed to fear God like I fear some guy in the street? I'm supposed to fear God a lot more than that. So Amar lohem, so I can imagine this story with a twinkle in his eye. He said, Halavai, I only wish that you should fear God as much as you fear that nobody on the street. And if you think that I'm so far-fetched, Tato, I'll prove it to you. Kishadam Oimer Avera, when you do something wrong, and there's no surveillance cameras around, Oimer Shloyeren Yadam, I hope no one saw me. So embarrassing. What do you mean, so nobody saw me?
Hashem
saw you. So obviously the fact that you think, oh my goodness, this is embarrassing, I hope no one saw me, shows that you do not even have the same Yiras Shemayim, you don't have the same Yira as you would have for a simple person. So the truth is, if you think about it, and you think that there's always someone watching, like the famous Chofetz Chaim story, the guy was trying to, the farmer, the guy, a wagon driver stopped, he was trying to steal crops, says, they're watching, and he kept saying it a few times, like, what do you mean, where are they? And he said, God's watching. But we have to realize that. And that's what he's teaching his students. Let's conclude, B'shas B'tiraso, upon his passing, Amar lohem, he told his students, P'nu Kalim B'nei Atumah, the sensitivity, even though he's about to die, when a person is sick, you only think about yourself. When a person is dying, obviously there's no chiyuv in doing any mitzvos, because you can't think beyond yourself. Yet he was thinking so much about everything else, even the vessels, he said, remove them out, I don't want them to become tameh as I'm about to pass. And v'chinu kisei l'chizkiyahu melech Yehudu shavu. They should prepare a chair, I'm not sure exactly why, for Chizkiyahu, but Chizkiyahu melech Yehuda, because he is going to come. And Rashi says, Olai, Lavasi, he's going to mulav me, he's going to accompany me, not to Ganet, to Gehenim, Chas Hashem, but to...
According to Oscar, says he was a descendant.
A descendant?
Yeah. That's right.